Welcome to the Impossible is Nothing podcast, brought to you by Sport24 in partnership with Adidas. I'm your host, Neil Gregg, for this two-part podcast series. We'll be chatting to two dynamic sports personalities about their athletic journey and what keeps them motivated. In today's episode, Zinhle Ndwandwe is both a Springbok 15s and a Springbok 7s rugby player. She's also a firefighter. Hailing from Inanda in KZN province of South Africa, Ndwandwe decided very early on that her circumstances would not determine her future. The hard-running center had a drive to succeed, and her determination has now taken her to the international women's rugby stage and has seen her named as a Springbok Women's Sixth Unstoppable and an Adidas Ambassador. Zinhle, welcome to the Impossible is Nothing podcast.
Hey Neil, thank you for having me.
It's great to talk to you. It's been a crazy year for everybody, including athletes like yourself. Now, women's rugby has been on the rise, and there has been so much progress over the last few years. Just give us an insight, please, how difficult the whole COVID scenario has been in terms of your progress as a player and with the World Cup in sight, which has now been delayed until 2022.
Yeah, thank you so much, Neil. We definitely were affected as a team, and I think personally each individual was affected, because this disaster did not only affect sports but entertainment, people losing jobs and so forth. And yes, we're still looking forward to be at the World Cup this year, but that didn't mean that we had to stop preparations, because the nice thing about our management is that they made sure that they give us programs where we train from Monday to Friday. They monitored our eating. They monitored our nutritionist. They monitored everything that we did in making sure that we are prepared. But yes, it's difficult because as players, we used to being on the field running around, and for us to adapt training at home and doing programs at home, sometimes you train but feel as if you're doing nothing. But yes, with the World Cup being postponed, it was a bit of a hiccup, but we also look at it on the positive side where we say, okay, we are given actually more time to prepare. We are given more time to play games, because due to COVID, we haven't been playing rugby, so we might have been in a situation where we have lost our fitness and we probably are not used to playing game anymore. So with the time being given, with the World Cup being postponed to next year, we then have more time to prepare. We then have more time to play games, which is where we have a Premier Division that's going on now. We also have an international games that we're going to play in July, as well as the Africa Cup. So as much as it was a downfall in a way, but it also is a positive thing, because we have been given another chance to actually prepare for the World Cup.
Well, that's great. And I'm sure you've had a lot more time to even reflect on the hopes for New Zealand 2022. If I can ask you your personal hopes and the team's hopes, what are you really trusting to achieve?
Obviously, we looked at how the Springbok guys actually won the World Cup. You could see the unity that they had. They were family, and they had that unity. They were close to each other, and I think with any team going to such a big tournament, that is really, really, really vital and important. And obviously with the work that we put in and what the coaches are telling us what to do, we don't just want to go to the World Cup and just add numbers, because at the moment we are the underdogs, because we haven't played the World Cup since 2014. So a lot of teams and then will be looking at us to see what is South Africa bringing this time around. So we are working quite a lot to go there in the World Cup to actually perform and show that the South Africa or the Springbok women's team is there, and we are here not just to add numbers but to perform.
Now, you currently live in Chesterville, KZN. You grew up and were raised in Inanda Township, more in the north of KZN. Many would look to you and say, how did Zinhle find a path into top-level rugby? How did that happen?
It was very difficult, I must say. As like my story is always said sometimes when I talk about it, because I grew up at Inanda, which was not such a good environment, especially to raise girls, because there's quite a lot happening, girls taking drugs, getting pregnant, and other sort of stuff. And my mother, being a domestic worker, she left us at home with my little sister. And from Monday to Friday, she would go and stay there at work. And we'll have to look after ourselves, go to work, make sure we come back, we close the door and not go outside because of the circumstances. But I look at my life and I look at where I was and I look at my mother and how hard she was working to make sure that we were okay, to make sure that we had everything that I had. So I sat down and said, I want to change my life. This is not what I want for myself or my family. So I want to change this. And that's when I started joining Rabbi, because I figured for me to actually get away from the situation, I have to find something that would keep me busy and get my mind off everything that was happening around me. So I joined Rabbi at Park Hill Secondary School, where the first year I started playing touch. Then the second year I actually joined the contact, physical part of it. And for me, the first time getting into the rugby field, touching the ball, having to tackle someone, I said to myself, no, I actually feel this is where I belong. This is what I want to do. Because they had other sports like netball and hockey and so forth. But I thought to myself, no, that's not for me. I just want something that will challenge me. So from there, one of the teachers at school saw talented me, because I know my father didn't actually want me to play rugby, because as a girl you had to come home early and cook and make sure that you prepare for the next day, because at times for 2 years I stayed with my dad. So when I got to high school, he didn't want me to play rugby because I came late at school and I had to cook. But my teacher then asked him that even if it means I have one training session, then that would be fine. So I joined the girls and represented KZN in 2016, where we went to SA Games. From then, 2008, I was selected for the Sharks women's team. Same year, I got selected for the first ever Springbok women's under 20. But life was not that easy, because as much as I wanted to be a Springbok, I could go to the camps that they had, the senior team, but I just couldn't make it. So I went back and forth into camps, but could not make the team. And I sat down and I asked myself, what is it that I'm doing wrong? I went to the girls that were there, Doli Mavunga, her name, and I asked them, what is it that I need to do? So they told me that, okay, you need to be fit first. You need to be a certain position. You need to eat a certain way. You need to be a certain weight, but most probably you need to be a professional athlete. You need to behave like one. You need to make sure that you don't just, when you go to the field, you don't just train with the team, but you need to put on extras for yourself, because that's how you improve as an athlete. So I sit down, I look around with the friends that I had. I look around the things that I did, the spare time that I used. I said to myself, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to cut some of the friends that I had. I'm going to have to put a little bit extra. So what I did, I started living like a Springbok when I was not one. Yes, at home, my mom needed to eat healthy, but we didn't have the food. So when my mom cooked cabbage and maize meal, I needed to make sure that I ate just cabbage. I didn't have gym access, but I didn't make that an excuse to say, okay, I don't have gym, so now I'll just sit because I cannot help myself. But I made sure that I did push up, I did sit up, I utilized, went to the grounds to play even soccer with the guys, so to make sure that I got fit. And from there, I know I remember Coach Polly from the Springbok Women's Sevens started calling me into camps, and that's just where everything started.
Now, you spoke about a difficult upbringing in Inanda, but you never said impossible, just difficult. So what does impossible is nothing mean to you?
For me, impossible is nothing. It just means seeing beyond what may seem people. I mean, what may seem, seeing beyond what may seem is possible. There's a lot of people, obviously, growing up, I know a lot of girls are looking at me now and saying, but how did Zinhle do this? How did she get there? It's because I, as much as I saw where the situation was, but I always thought to myself, but anything could be possible. Because if you look at the Impossible is Nothing campaign as well, it's all about seeing the world for what it can be, but not what it is. Because at that time, I was in that situation where I felt like, okay, we don't have anything at home. My mom's not working well. So I'm basically nothing at this moment. But I looked I didn't see the, I look at myself where I was now, and I look at my, I look at the world in the coming future and how it could be different. And I decided I'm going to make a difference, whatever that seems impossible to what people see at the moment. And when they look at me, I'm going to make sure that I fight to make sure that I make everything possible. So, and in that sense, I made sure that as a woman, I made sure that I was unapologetic as a woman about my capabilities or everything, anything that I did. I made sure that I went out there and I did it. Because where people see the impossible in me, I saw the possibilities that could go beyond.
Well, you've already showed that it is possible to play at a World Cup. You've been at the Springbok Women's Sevens team at the Sevens World Cup, playing that format of the game. Next year, you're in the 15s team, Springbok Women's at the 15s World Cup. How's that first experience been, tasting the world stage at Sevens level? How do you feel that will help you and the other women going into next year?
Yeah, wow, that was, it's actually one of my best highlights in my rugby career. A young girl coming from Inanda who has been so much, never would have thought it would be possible to be at the World Cup where you find a whole lot of people screaming, you're playing, you can't even hear each other. It's just big. You feel goosebumps as you go in the field. It was really, really, really amazing. But that's the type of feeling that when you get in that stage, you need to embrace it. You treasure it in a sense that I know every time when I sang the national anthem, I cried because I looked back where I was and I looked where I was standing and I said to myself, wow, it is possible as much as it seemed impossible, but I am here now and I did it. I did it because I never gave up. I had faith. I trusted in myself. I trusted in God. And I also was boosted by the strength of my mother, who never gave up on me when she had nothing. She gave it all. Whatever that she had, she gave to us. And that strength of hers and the circumstances that I went through were actually the ones that gave me that power to be strong, to be there and say, wow, I did it.
You're listening to the Impossible is Nothing podcast brought to you by Sport24 for Adidas. I'm your host, Neil Gregg. Now, you spoke about training, you spoke about your fitness during this time of COVID. We also understand that you've done some work as a firefighter in Durban. Tell us a little bit more about that. Where are you based? What kind of training? How did you get involved in fighting fires?
Yeah, with firefighting, I studied sport management at DUT. So whilst I was doing my BTEC, I was working as a fitness instructor at Virgin Active. So when I realized that I was finishing my BTEC and I couldn't find a job because there were not much sport jobs available. So I said to myself, okay, I cannot find a job, so I need to find something at least that would generate income for me to sustain myself and the family. So that when there were a firefighter post that I saw at King Shaka International Airport, I applied and I passed the physicals and got inside. And for me at first, it was just, this is just a job for me to get money and look after myself and the family. But once I got into firefighting, once I got to be taught what it is being a firefighter, it's not just switching off fires, but it's about saving lives, making sure that you make that person's day, that person who thought he or she was not going to make it that day, and then you make that person's day. And the feeling of just doing that, helping people, because I'm one of the person that likes being around people. I like having fun and helping people when they need help. So I've got that feeling, and then immediately I developed that passion for firefighting. So now it was never about money, and obviously, yes, money, we do need money to look after ourselves and family, but it is more about the passion of it, saving people's life, being there for someone when they needed help.
Now, Zintle, how much does the training for firefighting give you an advantage over your teammates? Surely you have an edge and are slightly fitter than the other ladies when you join camp?
Yeah, it's more tiring than just getting fit. It tires you a lot. But one thing I like about it is that with firefighting as well as rugby player, they both have the same sentiment. Because when I'm at work, I'm able to train. I'm also able to use the program that I'm given at the Springbok at SA Rugby. So there's space at work that I utilize to actually do my sessions. So that helps for me because when I get to work to the team, I'm actually ready. So as much as I do the program, the Springbok program, I also do the training at work, which gives me an advantage. But the nice thing about it is that it's whether I'm at work or I am at camp, I still come back. If I'm at camp, I come back at work fit and ready to actually perform my duties because I've been training. Let's say we had a camp for a month. So I come back fitter than some of the guys and ladies at work. Also, when I'm at work, I also train plus get the trainings, the firefighting trainings, which also helps me to actually be ready and conditioned for the camp coming up.
Now, we'd love to ask you, playing as a center, you obviously need to be fit. You need to be switched on at all times. This position that you play, who was your inspiration when you look at centers around the world of both women's and men's rugby?
One center that I'm very, very fond of, and I always look at him and say he's more of a description of who I am as a person. For women, this is going to be a shocker. It's definitely myself, simply because I feel that I am the best. I always work to be the best in my position. Not that I don't see that other players are the best, but yes, they are. But I always want to say to myself, I'm the best for me to actually be the best. So I always work hard to say I'm the best center in the world. And I'll keep it that way. I'll work hard to make sure that it stays that way. And for the guys, it's Lukanyo M, who's one of the most humble guys, plays rugby humble, but whilst creating magic. One of my highlights from him is when he in the World Cup, when he passed that ball, created that ball for Mambipi to actually score a try. You know, it just shows the type of personality that he has. Humble guy, plays rugby, but always a leader, always there to make sure that he helps his teammates, gives them the motivation, supports them when they need them, create tries for them. It's not always about him as a player, but it's about the team and what he can put into the table to combine the team's win.
Now, that's wonderful. So Lukanyo is obviously in your province most of the time when not traveling. How much interaction do you have with somebody like him when you're home and in KZN?
It's actually really great because when we get to training, we as ladies, we always go there and watch their training and watch what they do and how they do it. So it's always motivating for us as ladies because the standard that we are playing in now, especially going towards the World Cup, we actually need them to actually assist us and help us, tell us how it is, how was their experience when they went to the World Cup, what do we have to expect, and what are the things that we have to look out for, and how can we handle this? And I was very happy to see that the Springbok guys coming into our camp and Stellenbosch, where they actually taught us our forwards, teaching our forwards how to scrum and helping us. And that's the type of unity we need as South Africans as well as people anywhere around the world, where we help each other because they also want the best of from us. They've been to the World Cup. They experienced what being in the World Cup is about. So they came to us and they taught us and a few things and let us know that this is how it is. So this is how you can do this as ladies. And obviously with them being there for us and teaching us these few things and helping us, who knows? We could go to the World Cup, you know, and just be like them and win the World Cup. I mean, impossible is nothing.
Now, you've said repeatedly over your career that to inspire younger women and to show them an avenue to the top, to get them out of disadvantaged situations and backgrounds is a big part of your life, to show them that impossible is nothing. So on the eve of next year's delayed World Cup, what would you like to say to young women, young men, looking up to you and looking up to your story? What would you like to say to them?
Yeah, we especially, I would say especially, a lot of us come in bad backgrounds. We are caught in that situation, and our mind immediately stays there to say, this is where I am, and it's never possible for me to get out of this because my mom's not working, my dad is not there, I don't have parents, you know, and all those excuses that we have, which are reality. And in that stage, when you're still a young girl, you always feel like you can never be anyone or nothing could ever be possible for you in life. So the message I always tell them is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are at home. Impossible is nothing. You could be anything that you want to be if you put in the hard work. Make sure that whatever dreams that you have, you follow them and never give up. Because if you look at me, I always sit down now, I'm looking at how Adidas has made what I thought was impossible possible. When I when I go to work and I pass through billboards, I see myself and I ask myself, yo, I never thought that could ever be me. But we Adidas, it was made possible. Because one thing I like about them is that they're not about only supporting athletes and their performance, but they want to help the communities in making sure that with the stories that we have, we are able to tell them to the communities. We are able to inspire this young generation that are coming up, so that when they also feel like they don't have hope, when they see that there's no possibilities in their future, but because we are there to show them and be inspiration to them, to say nothing is impossible, anything that you want to be, you can be.
Would it be a reality, would this be possible for Zinclair to say that next year you see yourself as a champion at the Women's World Cup in New Zealand?
Definitely. It's going to be a really, really tough one. But the best thing is, when you've worked so hard, is to get to go there and just have fun. Because when you do something that you love and you're having fun whilst doing it, I promise you, everything just turns out very, very good. So for me, I'm just going to go to the World Cup, perform, do what is needed of me to do from the coaches, and showcase the talent that I have as an athlete. And most importantly, have fun. Because when you do something whilst having fun, it always turns out to be great.
Well, thanks, Zinclair. We're going to be behind you all the way at the World Cup. We can't wait to see you on the field again. And thank you for joining us to the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having me, Neil. And thank you to Sport24 for the interview.
You're listening to the Impossible is Nothing podcast, brought to you by Sport24 for Adidas. I'm your host, Neil Gregg.